Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, as we always do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday, the first Sunday after Easter. I remember the year in 2005 when Pope John Paul died on the Feast of Divine Mercy, on the Eve of Divine Mercy. And I was so struck in that moment because he had established this feast based on the revelations of Saint Faustina. And I was very struck that there was a way I felt like God the Father was putting his stamp of approval on what John Paul had done. That God the Father wanted us to know how great, how infinitely great his mercy was through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there was a certain way that by bringing John Paul to himself on that day, there was a certain way I felt like that God the Father was saying, this is my son, John Paul, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. I'm not trying to equate John Paul with Jesus, but I am saying that God the Father called John Paul a beloved son of his. And he brought him to himself on the day that John Paul had established, that we might know more and more and more deeply the reality of the mercy of God for each of us. But you don't take it for granted. You don't presume it. You come to him. You repent for your sin whenever you sin. Don't disguise it. Don't hide it. Don't excuse it. Just admit it. Because what you receive, if you admit with genuine sorrow, what you receive is the mercy of God. God wipes away your sin. God is offering you everything. Don't refuse it. Don't act as though it's not important. Don't dismiss it. God has mercy for you. So many of us are afraid to look at our sins because we think they're going to overwhelm us and defeat us because we feel that way already. And we don't want to look at what else we've done wrong. But actually, with God, the opposite will happen. You'll be set free. You won't be bound up more. You won't be more guilt-ridden. You'll be set free. That's what God has for you. Let's take a look at the readings for today on this great feast. The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. So this is after Easter. This is what happens. The people come more and more together, those who were followers of Christ, those who believed in him, and those freshly made believers were reaching out to others. Remember Peter, when he spoke after Pentecost, what happened to Peter? Because of the power of the resurrection, Peter was able to stand up before thousands. He who had denied the Christ was able to stand up before thousands of people, and they were converted listening to him. Brothers and sisters, the power of the resurrection is in you. God wants to use you just like he used the first disciples. He wants to use you. But what we have to come to is belief. This is the day that is Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday. Today is Easter Friday, and we're looking ahead to this Sunday. It isn't, oh, Easter is just one day. No, we celebrate Easter for quite a while because it was the proof that God was who he said he was, and he rose from the dead. He died, and he rose from the dead for your salvation and mine. He did. Not just a picture, not just an image. It's a reality. He died for you and me. And now what does he do but open his heart to have mercy on us, those who disbelieve, those who reject, those who even hate God. He opens the door of the heart of his mercy for every one of us. And so here we have the first after the resurrection. It says, all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's need. That was the first Christian community. What are you doing about fostering community in your parish, in your area, your neighborhood? Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. More and more people, they were drawn by the light, really, the warmth, the kindness, the charity. And in that, God's Holy Spirit can dwell more and more and more fully. And so that Holy Spirit, because of the way we're living, as described here, because of the way the Christians were living, new Christians, yes, newly minted Christians, but they were living in such a way that God could inhabit them and God could work through them. And so it says here, every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. More and more people were attracted. Are people attracted to you? Are they attracted to your parish? Are they attracted to your extended family, your neighborhood, in your workplace? What do people see in you? Don't worry about anybody else right now, but you. Is your faith living? God wants it to be a living faith. It's not just words on a page or words you say. I'm going to say much more about faith in the coming weeks, but for now, is your faith alive? Can God work through you? He wants to. Psalm 118 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. Just say that over and over again to yourself, because it's the truth. His love is everlasting. His love won't die out. He won't turn away from you. In the letter of St. Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Read that over. I don't have time on this program to do it, but read that verse over and over. And then it goes on to say, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are safeguarded through faith to a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the final time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him. You rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Brothers and sisters, please take that passage from Peter's letter. Read that out loud to yourself. Read it out loud among your friends and your family. Let the word, this truth, even though we have to suffer through various trials, it's so that the genuineness of our faith, more precious than gold, may prove to be for the praise and the glory and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God wants your faith to shine out. God wants you to show forth the very presence of God in our midst. The Holy Spirit can do that in you. And the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. Can you imagine? Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." You can imagine, they were a little agitated, a little frightened, a little shocked. Oh, but oh my goodness, disbelieving and trying all the while to believe. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Here it is, brothers and sisters, Divine Mercy Sunday. He will forgive us all our sins. The only way that mercy is not given is when we refuse to repent, when we say we don't care and we walk away. But you open your heart to the Lord and say you're sorry for your sin. Oh my goodness, the mercy that is yours. Don't miss it. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Here's Thomas. But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And now look what happens. A week later, God knowing that that's what Thomas said, the disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus came, although the doors were locked, he stood in their midst and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Okay, Thomas, you said you'd only believe if you could touch me. So come, Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." That's you and me. We haven't seen, but God has given us the gift of faith to believe that what is written here is true. Now it says, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. Oh, brothers and sisters, the mercy of God. That Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I can see him, unless I can put my fingers in the wounds." And Jesus, in his mercy, came to him. Jesus didn't have to do that. So in our own doubts and our own fears, tell Jesus what they are. Ask him to help you. Tell him. Don't be afraid to tell him. He knows them, but he wants to hear from you, so that you might receive all the mercy, the love, the kindness that God wants to give you. Brothers and sisters, we stand very much in need in our world today, very much in need of the mercy of God. Let us receive it ourselves, that we in turn, it may be given to others through us. May God be glorified. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.